Good morning, family. It's good to see everybody here. Visiting with us is a friend of ours from Charleston, Indiana. She's a foods teacher over at Tuscola. Just a quick question. Do you use instant pudding in your classes?
We do not use instant pudding, but if you do have a problem with the children, call us.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Even in my world, same thing. Yes. But in my world, we don't get good chocolate pudding versus bad chocolate pudding. We get kids that do this because they don't follow my instructions and they lose fingers. And that's, well, let me back that up. They've always followed my directions, and all kids have their five fingers and toes and everything, 10 fingers. So we've never had that. If the worst case is your chocolate pudding doesn't taste good, but in my world, it's like you better follow those instructions. So I understand what you're saying, Deanna. So we're going to talk today about God's Valentine. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. And we're going to read about God's Valentine for us. John chapter 3, the third chapter of the fourth gospel, and we'll pick up in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that they may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful message of John 3:16, that you loved us, first and foremost, that you gave us your Son, secondly, and that through your Son, we have eternity to spend with you. Lord, the world is fighting hard for our souls, for the souls of those in the world that are lost, that are in darkness, that have no hope. And Lord, it's plain to read this, and it's one of the most popular verses ever in the world. And they have people in the stands at Super Bowls and football games carrying this sign with John 3:16 on it because it fills this void in our hearts with hope. Lord, the message is simple, but it's difficult and hard to follow. The choice that you give us to follow you or not follow you, as it says, we don't like to get into the light because our deeds have become known. But Father, here's what I know, that when we are in the light, that light heals. That light heals the wounds, it heals the pains, it heals the past, it heals our life. So Father, I pray this morning that for those that are online listening in or are here amongst us this morning, that if they need to put their trust in you, to put their trust in the light, to come into the light and to come out of the darkness. And it's only in that step that we get faith, that our faith is fulfilled through your Son, Jesus Christ. Our sins are washed away, and we have life eternal with you. Thank you, Father, for all you do for us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, and thank you for your word. Let your Spirit guide us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody recognize these? Okay, guys. Ladies, plug your ears. Guys, did y'all do what you're supposed to do? Go out at the last minute and pick through the cards to find one that you just, Kenny, he's going, uh-oh. Cards. Do you know how much money is spent on cards? Do you know how much money is spent on chocolate? I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, but let's go over what we're going to talk about. First slide. We just read John 3:16 to 21. We typically stop at 3:16 because there in and of itself, I could preach on that for the rest of the year. John 3:16 in and of itself has so much to unpack. But when you go all the way through 21 and you start to hear the reasons behind the change of accepting Christ in your life and following him and getting in the light, it's pretty powerful. So I have an illustration I want to share with you. Let's see if this reminds you of your past or possibly someone you know. Have you ever heard one child tell another child, I will not be your friend unless you do so-and-so? Any show of hands in here? Maybe y'all said that. No, put your hand down. I want to hear it. This is putting conditions on a friendship. Sometimes we forget that Jesus loves us unconditionally. He never says, I'll love you if. He loves us whether or not we read our Bible. He loves us whether or not we go to church. He even loves us whether or not we accept him as our Lord and Savior. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. It's not about what we do. It's about what he's already done. And what he's already done was did the role and the job that God gave him. He was obedient unto death. Churches, sadly, ministries around the world, without you even knowing it, subtly put these conditions on your faith journey. They'll say things like, well, unless you do it exactly this way, or if you don't recite this prayer exactly this way, or if you don't give this much, or if you don't do these things, if you don't join our church, you don't do this the way we want it. That's conditions, much like those kids do on their friendship. You've heard me say this over and over again. What drew me to the Christian church was when I saw the very statement, in the essentials, unity, in the non-essentials, grace and mercy. You see, we have so many stinking denominations in the church because we can't focus on that first part of that statement. Focus on the essentials, unity on the essentials, the things that are important to our faith. John 3:16 tells us exactly what the number one essential is, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yet we have denomination after denomination after denomination that parse the truth. They even reject certain translations of the Bible. They'll say, if you don't come dressed in a suit and a tie, if you're preaching, we put conditions everywhere in our faith walk of the church in the United States and around the world. And we wonder why the world looks at us and goes, And then they got the crazy guy with the multicolored fro on the end zone holding up John 3:16. I get it. I understand that guy's heart, that person's heart. He's trying to draw attention to himself, so you read the sign. But how many ways do we lose connection with people? How many ways do we put up walls without even thinking about it when we start to push people out? Similarly to the guy who talked to Jesus in the Bible that said, I don't want to pray like him. I don't want to be seen like him. I'm better than him. And in our faith walk, we do that without trying sometimes very hard. So we have to be careful. God did not put any conditions on that, except that we love Jesus and accept him as our Lord and Savior. So here's the truth today, very clearly. Darkness leads to death, and light leads to life. That's the essence of John 3:16. Darkness leads to death, and light leads to life. And just this week, or just past week, we celebrated one of the happiest, is that a good word to use, holidays in the world? Valentine's Day? I remember in elementary and junior high school, when I started to become aware of this thing called girls, they all of a sudden started having these opportunities to do things, like write a little card or give a Valentine. Remember those things in elementary? We used to make the boxes, anybody walk around them, and you counted them, and you're always looking for the one from that special person, because that was the special one, right? And then I moved up into junior high and high school, and then they started selling flowers. And you could write a little note on it. And those anonymous ones, you know, you wonder who they came from. Are they from that special person that you've got your eye on? You know, and then people would walk around, they'd hold vases full of flowers because those were the cute kids or the best looking kids or the whatever, you know, like they had bunches. And then I was like me, I'd have maybe one or zero, you know, or mine was bent over. So as I became aware of that kind of stuff, I realized we show our love in a lot of different ways. And I can honestly tell you, it hurt not to get one of those flowers. not to get that Valentine card from that special person. And it's interesting how Satan will have us fill that hole in our hearts with all this stuff that just, at the end of the day, gets burned up. It's meaningless. It's not that important. It feels important. And I'll also tell you this. When I grew up, joined the military, and got married for my first marriage, I thought I knew what love was. I thought I knew it. I thought I loved her beyond all things. Of course, I didn't know Jesus Christ. Well, I knew him, but I didn't have a relationship with him. And my marriage crashed and burned. And it was only until I had a relationship with Jesus Christ, when my knee hit the ground and my heart broke for his love, that I realized what true love was. And only then am I able to love my second wife, Carrie, the way she needs to be loved, the way God intended it to happen. And he needed to love me first so that I could love her. You see, I was living in darkness. I was doing all the right things. I had all the right toys. I had all the right money. I had the right titles. I had the right job. I had the right career path. Thought I had the right wife. But I was in darkness. And until I brought Jesus into my life and healed that wound that we all have ever since the garden, where we've been separated from God and Jesus Christ, and we try to fill it with stuff. Cards, chocolate, whatever. So let's put up the next slide. Here's some statistics I found. I like statistics. My wife likes directions. Valentine's Day stats. First, up to 52% of consumers celebrate Valentine's Day. 52% of people with buying power. Now, all you got to do is go to Walmart. They're four holidays ahead of you, by the way. And we just went through two stores yesterday, a Walmart and another local grocery store, and all the Valentine's candy is 50% off. Gosh. Oh, man. You can't pass it by. Some of the good chocolate, you know, 50% off. It's hard to... 52% of consumers celebrate Valentine's Day in some way. Okay, next. Around 3 in 10 Americans will go into credit card debt for Valentine's Day spending. What? You're going to go into debt to show somebody you love them? Wait a minute here. I mean, I shouldn't spend the nice dinners, the champagne, the wonderful gifts, and maybe the limousine ride. I mean, I'm going to blow their socks off, so I got to go into debt? What? Something's wrong in the priorities here, I think. 3 out of 10. Next. 35% of consumers will shop online for their gifts. You know what I miss? I love going to the store and picking something up and putting it in my hands. Amen? There's something about that. I don't care how successful Amazon is or Walmart or any of these online shopping, that experience has been removed. When you're only looking at a picture, and all you're doing is seeing what it says, and maybe you read those false little things in there that people comment on, oh, yeah, this is a perfect... You wonder if those are done by computers or whatever. Who knows if they're telling the truth or not. But the idea of picking, going to the store the last few hours before the night's over, sorting through all, you know, come on, guys, let's be honest. But picking it up in your hand and reading it and touching it, there's a tactile thing here. Picking up a gift, being able to put it in your hands, and your special person knowing that you went to all the trouble to go get that and wrap it or do something with it. It's just, somehow this online stuff has kind of lost it for me. Anyways, doesn't mean it's not a good thing because sometimes the prices are better, but I don't know. Next. Around 224 million roses are grown specifically for Valentine's Day. A quarter of a billion roses are grown just for Valentine's Day. Wow. Maybe I ought to get in the rose business. I don't know. You know, that's a lot of roses. And then they die the next day or 2 days or whatever. It's a pass-through gift. It comes and goes. But ladies, I know, guys too. I mean, I've gotten flowers before. Carrie's bought me flowers. It feels good. I told her, stop buying me the flowers, get me a plant. I like the plants. So I have a plant in my classroom now that's still growing. And without really trying real hard, it's growing. You know, I keep forgetting to water it, but it's growing. But you know, something about flowers. And the jury's out. Some people like flowers, and they always will appreciate flowers. And then some people say, no, don't buy them for me because they'll just die anyways. I don't know. Jury's out. We'll talk about that in another sermon. Next one. Check this out. Roughly 6 million people get engaged on Valentine's Day. You think it's kind of a special day? 6 million people get engaged. And then here's the one that got my attention. Expect to spend $25.8 billion in 2024. Just on Valentine's Day. $25.8 billion. Bless you. That's a ton of money, people. That's a ton of trying to fill holes, trying to impress, trying to do it in our flesh. Now, I get it. The Valentine's Day is special. I do it. I'm right there with. So there's nothing inherently wrong with the idea of celebrating that one day. But however, when you look at these numbers, it appears to me it'll be a little excessive. And at the end of the day, when the cards get thrown away or the, how many of you have cards from a long time ago? You keep them in the drawer in a box somewhere? Okay, I've got some. I started dating Carrie, and the first Valentine's Day card came up. She's going to kill me for sharing this. Aaron's seen it. I wrote a card, a real nice card, and I wrote my heart out on it. And I gave her a nice gift. It was a pearl necklace. She showed that card to so many people, she ended up laminating it because it was going to get deteriorated from all the people touching it. Now, it's not because I'm such an eloquent writer, you know, or that I just knocked her off her feet with some poetry, but for her it was very special. And obviously, that's a part of her love language, that it just, without even trying real hard, I just did it, and I struck gold. And it's still paying dividends. She still has that in her hope chest. She still has that card from 24 years ago. I get it. But this number right here, could we show a lot of love with $25.8 billion, Kenny, around the world? How many missions trips could we fund for $25.8 million? When I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, there's no price tag on there for us. He didn't ask for money. He gave everything for us. There's no price except accepting him as your Lord and Savior. We spend all this time and money on this one day, or the lead up to that day, and we still have some of the highest divorce rates in the world. It's like this is it's churning, it's a business model almost, it feels like. Well, we'll get them engaged over here, and we'll divorce them over here, and we'll just keep the process going. Kind of like big pharmacy. Anyways, next. I'm sorry, I slipped that one in. Let's talk about something else, a little different take. Please put it up, Aaron. Anybody know who Richard Dawkins is? Famous evolutionary biologist, British, atheist. This is what he has to say. We are a meaningless collection of molecules. The only reason we exist is to promote selfish genes. And when we die, that's it. And nothing even mattered after all. This is one of the premier speaking voices in the world from the science world. And this is his position on life, love, and our purpose. So here's his beliefs. Essentially, here's what he says. First, God doesn't exist. That's what he says. And when you believe and you read deeply into the theory of evolution, it's about everything but God. Secondly, God would be regarded as a moral master. A taskmaster, a slave. You only believe this because this is what God tells you to do. It's a sense of of an overlord, if you want to call it. And then finally, his last belief or third belief that comes out of this, he's a proponent of evolution, and there is no afterlife. Once you're done, you're in the hole, you're done. That's what he believes. And this is a voice of notoriety, of what's the word I want to use? He's well-renowned. People follow him in his voice. So we have this comparison. Remember I said darkness leads to death and light leads to life? God says, follow me. And the evolutionists in the world and Satan say, there's nothing there. Once you're done, you're done. We're trying to fill this hole. We're trying to bring back the patch to that pain that was caused by the original sin and separation with us from God in the garden. And it's been a continuous, let's fill it this way, let's fill it this way, let's find new ways, let's kind of be creative here. Repeatedly, over and over again, $25.8 billion on one stinking holiday to tell somebody you love them. Wow. Here's the world, darkness versus the light. I think it's a pretty straightforward argument. Next, let's talk about God's approach. When we read John 3:16, and I hope you would go back in your Bibles and please highlight these things, and we'll just start with 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So the first thing, this is God's approach, number one. He only gave us one Valentine. It's the only one you'll ever need. And it's called Jesus. He gave his one and only begotten son. We don't need to buy another card every year. We don't need to keep stacks of them in the lower drawer. It's one Valentine's, Jesus. But oh, at what cost? Imagine, for those of you parents, you take your son and say, you get to die for a bunch of people that don't love you, don't care for you, will spit on you, will crucify you, will call you all names in the world, because we love them. How do you measure that love? $25.8 billion? We would never just willingly sacrifice our children without measuring the cost. That's immeasurable. Only one Valentine, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Number two, it's very clear in there. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves the world. It's his creation. He loves everybody. Even those that say no. Now, until we die and until we're in the grave, if we continue to turn our back to God and say no, 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 there's an opportunity. There's a potential. I love getting into discussions with people. Well, can a mass murderer go to heaven? What do you think the thief on the cross thought? Yeah, no, but he did believe in Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? You're going to be with me today. So is it possible? Yes. But I also understand the theological argument where you turn your back and you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, where you basically say no and you attribute a devilish type thing, satanic things to God or Jesus Christ. Then I don't think you have hope. But God still will love you. Who knows what that moment will be, that miracle be. It's that extra prayer, that time that you've got them on your heart, the intercessory thought in your mind, that might be the final moment that they turn and accept Jesus for the first time in their life. How many VBSs do we have to do? How many missionaries do we have to send out? How many Bibles do we have to send to Papua New Guinea? How many things do we need to do in the name of Jesus and a soul is saved? 25.8 billion? How about one Jesus? But it's the salvation of the world. That's what he came here for. Thirdly, God's approach to Valentine is he gave us a choice. Now, it'd be pretty hard in my house when I get the card and it says Rich on it, and I know that's not for my daughter. Hers would say Dad on it, right? That this is for my wife. And it would be pretty foolish for me not to open it, not to read it, not to, you know. And I've gotten a lot of cards, 24 years. We've gotten, you know, been married 24 years. And I got to be honest, I don't remember them all. One just doesn't stand out like she did. That was the first card, so that would be something special. But I've gotten 24 years worth of cards. And while I have some of them still, I don't have all of them. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is an expression of her love. The real proof of the love is when she puts up with me and does my laundry and cooks and does all the other things that we do for each other because we love each other. Also, I believe it's very clear that my wife would know I would lay my life down for her if it's needed. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what would happen if I had to. There's no greater love than knowing that you lay your life down for your friend. Temporary, $25.8 billion of stuff. But that's not necessarily the best way of expressing our love. He gave us a choice. And the way that we respond to his love is to take the choice on. Ponder it. Think about it. He gives you a choice. He doesn't draw a line in the sand or put a gun at your head. He gives you a choice. Next. The choice is very clear. You're either for God or against God. I tend to be a very practical person. I like black and white things. Even the instructions do that. Even Deanne's comment that they don't follow, you know, do instant pudding. Nancy, you're a fabulous cook. Do you do it every way exactly the same way all the time? And why do you do that? I mean, I didn't expect that answer. I thought maybe there was like, you had a secret, you know, just, why do you do that? Why do you mix it up a little bit? Try new things. Friend, do you like to try new things? Sometimes? JD, do you like new things? Not always. Well, here's the truth, people. Every day is a new thing. We're not to worry about it. God's going to take care of it. We get into our routines. We get things. But the choice of light or darkness is very clear. You either follow him or you don't. It's not a theological debate. It's not, we have to sit there and listen to, you know, and consume a lot of stuff off the internet or Encyclopedias Britannicas. Just follow Jesus. Follow God's word. Next, number five. Very clearly it says this, that in the end, all will be exposed. So if you're a sinner and you think you're going to get away with it, Dawkins will be exposed. Even though he's got the ear of academics around the world, and he has a certain favor in the world of evolution and Darwinism and all that, in the end, the light will reveal the darkness. He's pushing a lot of untruths, things that go against God's word, and it will be revealed. It says, all knees will bow and will touch the ground, and all lips will confess that Jesus is Lord. There's no exclusions. There's no separations from that. And then lastly, number six, God blesses his followers. Amen. God doesn't say in the word that because I become a Christian, my life's going to be perfect. He doesn't say in his word that our lives are never going to be difficult again. He doesn't say in his word that we won't have problems in relationships, we won't have pains, we won't have some sufferings or consequences in life. By the way, just on a side note, you've heard me quote Henry Blackaby a lot in his Experiencing God series, and where he basically said that God is under no compulsion to bail us out of our bad mistakes. Henry just passed away this week. Henry Blackaby wrote one of the best Bible studies I've ever seen about evangelism and whatever. And just brought that back to my mind, that quote of his, God's under no compulsion to bail you out. However, he promises that we'll be spending eternity with him. And he will bless you every day, every moment. God's with us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. That's a blessing in and of itself, people. Because there's times where I've been alone and it hurts to be alone. People, I've lost loved ones. I've, you know, unexpectedly, some of you have dealt with this just yourself. People that are important to us are gone. What do we do? How do we fill that hole? What do I do when I'm single on Valentine's Day and I don't get a flower or I don't get a card? I miss that relationship connection. Does that mean I'm not loved? What do I have to do to show that I'm worthy? That's Satan right there, by the way. Satan loves to call you by your sin. He loves to tell you about your shortfalls. He loves to tell you how you don't measure up. Not God. All darkness will be exposed, and he blesses his followers. That's the promise of John 3:16. That's the most beautiful Valentine's that you'll ever get in your life. So let's put it up next. So here's where I want to land on this. Here's another illustration from a guy named Roy Fowler. It was from Sermon Central. And he writes of William Gladstone in announcing the death of Princess Alice to the House of Commons, told a touching story. The little daughter of the princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter and endanger her life by breathing the child's breath. Once when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, took the little one into her arms to keep her from choking to death. Rasping and struggling for her life, the child said, "Mama, kiss me." Without thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter. She ended up getting diphtheria, and some days thereafter, she went to be forever with the Lord. Real love forgets self. Let me say that again. Real love forgets self. Real love knows no danger. Real love doesn't count the cost. So here's our challenge this week. Have you accepted God's Valentine? Now, some of you have known Jesus your whole life, or you've been around church your whole life. But I hope and pray that all of you, when you walk out here today, can say, "I know Jesus and he's my Savior." For those that are online that are listening in, if you don't, be glad to get with you. Send me an email, shoot me a text, and I'll be glad to walk you through that. Or get with a local pastor if you're in a local church. Let's pray. Father, I am astounded when I pulled the stats together for the amount of dollars and things and time and the extent by which we'll go to express our love for each other on Valentine's Day. I understand it's the Hallmark thing, you know, where it's kind of built up and leads to, and it's an annual type ritual we go through, tradition of expressing our love for our loved ones. It's kind of cute. It's kind of fun. It certainly can be a little fattening with some of the chocolate and cookies and whatever. But Lord, we know that the greatest Valentine that we have is your son, Jesus, the gift you gave to us freely at no cost. We don't have to go out to a store to buy it. We don't have to travel anywhere. We can just accept Jesus right where we're at. And then once we've done that, Lord, you show us this unbounded amount of love that's immeasurable, that allows us to not only love ourselves again, to fill that hole in our own hearts, but to love others. Jesus' words were to love you with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our might, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's hard to do, but it starts with our love for you. And you loved us first, and you gave us your gift of Jesus, and we are so blessed because of it. Thank you, Father, that you gave us the choice, that you gave us the opportunity to step out of darkness and into light. Father, many of us carry wounds that they're deep. They're wide. They're still fresh. But Lord, let us just take those wounds and lay them at your altar. Turn them over to you. Give them to you. Let your healing begin on those wounds of our life. You've given us such a wonderful gift of Jesus. It's immeasurable what that love means for us. But Lord, I know that with your Son comes blessings. Not a perfect life, but a blessed life. And we're so thankful. It's in your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.